Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Kovav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kovav Amar Aleph. 8 lines from the top. Gufa Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Manali B'yotcham. If somebody approaches somebody else and says to him, you owe me $100 V'haloi Omer, and the other person responds, Ein Lecha B'yadei Klum, I don't owe you anything. V'nishba, and he swears to that effect. And as all the Rishonim point out, the reason he had to swear is because we're referring here to a situation where there's a chiyuv shvua b'daraisa, where the Torah, as we're going to be learning quite extensively, if somebody borrowed money and then the person claims you owe me the money and the individual says that ma'ida b'miksus, that I owe you only some of the money, but there the Torah says that under such circumstances a shvua needs to be made. We're going to learn and discuss what is the halacha by somebody who is watching something that belongs to somebody else? And again, the question was, do you have to make a shvua? And most Rishonim explain that we're speaking about a shvua d'oraisa. But our Gemara is not referring to a shvua, which is only a shvua that one is obligated midrabbanim. So again, gufa amarav hunam arav, mana libiyotcha, somebody says, you owe me money, v'hala oma, and the other person responds, ein lecha b'yadei klum, I don't owe you anything, v'nishba, and he swears to that effect, uba edim, and edim come to deny what he says, potter, he won't have to pay for it. Shenema, this says the Gemara, because the pasuk says, shvus Hashem tiyah ben shneyem, im lo sholach yodoi, b'melechus re'eyu, b'lochach balim v'lo yishalem. Kivan Shekiblu Balam Shvua, the Gemara is explaining, Rav Huna Amar Rav is teaching us that once you swear, Shuv Ein Mishalmim, at that point, Ein Mishalmim Mami, then even though if it turns out that he swore falsely, then the halacha is that you don't have to ever pay again. And since there's no chiv to pay, says the Gemara, there's also not going to be any chaimish, and there's not going to be asham. So our Gemara, at first glance, and that's going to be a very big part of the shiur that we're going to learn today, seems to be saying that there is no chiv payment if somebody swears and he swears and then he's caught to be lying, which of course is a very big chiddush, and as we're going to be learning in a very hard thing to understand, and we're going to, in Mitzvah Shem, study in the shiur today when Rav actually said this halacha, and when is this halacha actually not applicable. Says the Gemara, Amra Rava, says the Gemara, Mestabra Milsa the Rav, what Rav just taught us makes sense to be said, the Milva, that the person swore that he doesn't have to pay, and now it turns out that he lied. So since there's a rule throughout halacha milvalay tzar nitnu, that's not, when you borrow money, it's not assumed that you still have actually that money, but what is assumed is that that money has been spent, and you're going to have to repay other money. So since he swore, says the Gemara, he doesn't have to pay that anymore. Aval b'kodin, in a situation where I'm watching something. So the Torah used the words v'lo yishalim. Lo yishalim speaks to our obligation to repay for something. Here, that isn't applicable. B'kodin doesn't mean a payment. And therefore, since we're talking about b'kodin, in such circumstances, b'rishusei d'marikai, the person who owns this object still owns it. If I'm watching it, that doesn't mean that I am the owner. I'm just watching it. So since it's Bershusei Demarikai, then the halacha is, he has to return what he's watching. And since he has an obligation to return what he's watching, it doesn't make a difference what the shvua was or what happened. However, says Rava, Velakim, I can swear that Rav, Amar Rav, the Rav said his din, Afil b'kodin. Now, not only by halva did he say this halacha, He said it even by a pikadim, because comments Rava, the kiksiv kra, the pasuk that says v'lokach bala v'lo yishalem, that pasuk is speaking about a pikadim. So we see that from here, if the shvaimer swore, the Torah is telling us by swearing he becomes the owner of that pikadim, and therefore even if Adam afterwards come and say, well, what you say is not true, the halacha is that it doesn't make a difference. He will not be held responsible. The Bnei Yisachar, in his Sefer Agra Dekala, asks a question. Here the Torah uses the words v'lokach balav v'lo yishalim, and we're learning that the words v'lokach balav comes to teach us a shvua. So the question is, why does the Torah use that word v'lokach balav? And we understand from the pasuk anyway, Shvuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneim, that as we read the pasuk, that there's a shvua necessary. So actually, the entire word v'lokach, asked the Bnei Yisachar, is superfluous. What does the Torah mean by using the word v'lokach? So he says that we know, and we spoke about it, and will speak about, that the Torah frowns upon people making shvuas. It's not something that the Torah encourages. And not only does the person who swears, and of course, if he's a person who swears falsely, is that frowned upon, but even the person who demanded that the other party should swear, it's frowned upon. Because a person should not be putting the other person into that situation. And therefore, the person who made the other person swear, the Torah is actually not satisfied with that person. Why? So what he should do, says the Bnei Yisachar, that he should try to come to terms with this person. So that's what the Torah says, v'lokach balav. He says the word v'lokach balav, lokach comes to teach us, l'hatl kabbalah eschayrim, Be'efsher oise leman yirav yifasher. He says what this word stands for, that rather than making this person swear, and by making this person swear, he's creating a situation that the person may be swearing falsely, etc. What the right thing to do is try to avoid the shvua and try to make a compromise, or at least only do a cherim. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Nachman Kamal Hashmatza, Rav Nachman was sitting and saying this halacha, and that the halacha that if somebody swears in a pikadin, it becomes his. And then even though when it turns out that he lied, he won't have to return it. But ask the Gemara, Eser Rachbe Ben Yamin L'Rav Nachman. A question was asked. The Mishnah Masech Teshvus, Daf Mem Tesam Aleph, discusses a situation that when somebody says to a Shai Mechinam, Hechem Pektuni, I left something with you, where is it? Hechem Pektuni, where exactly is it? Amalai, and the Shomer says, Ovid, I lost it. So he responds to him, the owner of this object, Mashbiachani, I make you swear to that effect. Vamar, and the person indeed swears. He says, Amen. As we've learned previously, saying Amen is considered a shvua. Vama Amen, and he says Amen. Ve'edim me'edim ma'isoy sh'achloi, and Edim say, well, we know that he ate up this object. The halacha is mishalma karen. He has to pay the value of this object. Hoyde ma'atzmai, if he admits that he swore falsely. So as we've been learning in our shurim over and over again, so don't we see that even though he swore, he doesn't become exempt from having to pay? And if afterwards Adam will come and be able to say that what you said is not true, he will be held responsible. So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is from the Reisha, that the Reisha says that if he swore and then Adam came and say that he's lying, that he's going to be chayiv. But in the Sefer, where he swore and then admits that he lied, that halacha of somebody who swears and then admits that what he said was untrue, that's a halacha that we've learned many times of in our current shiurim. The halacha of Karen v'chaymish v'ashem, that isn't what the Gemara is focused on. Taisus says that the Gemara at this point does not have Rav differentiating between any situation, and therefore Taisus seems to learn that the question is even from the Sefer. Amalei, Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman, so this Braisa that we just quoted, which clearly is a problem for Rav, Amalei, Hachamai Skinen, the Nishba Chutzla Bezdin. He swore outside the Bezdin. The Torah speaks about a Shvua, and that Rav is teaching us in our Shir, that a Shvua has the ability to make it yours, and that you won't be held responsible. That's only if you made the Shvua in Bezdin. And the simple pshat is that if the Shvua was made in Bezdin, then it truly becomes yours. But if the Shvua was done outside of Bezdin, that type of Shvua is not a strong enough Shvua that it should make it yours and that you should no longer be held responsible. Amalei. So if Achas ben Menyumi says to Rav Nachman, if that's the way you want to understand the Braisa, Ihachi, if that's the way you want to understand the Braisa, let's continue learning the Braisa. Eima Seifa. The Seifa of the Mishnah there says, Hecha Pegduni, if the person who's watching the object is asked by the person who owns the object, Hecha Pegduni, where is the object that I'm watching? And Amaloi, and he says to him, Nignaf, he says that it was stolen. And then, Masbiyakana, the person who owns the object tells him you have to swear, which the halacha is that a Shem Chinam, when he makes that type of a claim that what he was watching was stolen, has to make a Shvua. So he makes that Shvua. And then, Vama Amen, and like we just spoke about, by saying Amen, it means as if you made the Shvua. Veidam Eidam Aisosha Gonvoy. And then Adam come and say that he stole it himself. The halacha is Misham Tashlumei Kefil, which is the halacha that we've learned early in the Masechta, that whenever a Shoy Mechinam says Toyin Tanis Ganef, that he claims that what he was watching was stolen, and then it turns out that what he's saying is not true, Chayiv Kefil, he has to pay Kefil. Hoyde Ma'atzmai, if he's going to admit on his own, so then it's going to be like any case that we've also been discussing, where somebody swears falsely and then admits that he was lying, that the loch is Mishalm Karen B'chayim Shvashim. Says the Gemara, V'yitzal Kedatach, if we're going to say, as the Gemara just suggested, as Rav Nachman just suggested, that this episode took place, Chutz L'Bezdin, so now we have a question, Mi'ika Kefil, if somebody swears Chutz L'Bezdin, he's not, and then he can't, caught lying, then you're not going to be chayif kefil in the case of Toyin Tanis Ganef when it takes place outside of Bezdin. So it must be that it took place in Bezdin. So now we have a great question. Here we said that we're speaking about a case where it took place outside of Bezdin, but the Sefer clearly teaches us that it's talking about a case where it took place in Bezdin. Amalei, Yecholim L'Shnuyelach. So Rav Nachman says, I really could give you an answer that the Reisha will be in a case where the Shvua took place, Chutz L'Bezdin, and a Shvua that takes place, as we said a moment ago, a Shvua that takes place outside of Bezdin, that's not the type of Shvua that makes it the property of the Shomer. And the Sefer, I'll say, is speaking about that the Shvua took place in Bezdin, and therefore, since the Shvua took place in Bezdin, and then it turned out that he was lying, Toyin Tanis Ganef, he'll be Chayiv Kefil. However, says Rav Nachman, I don't want to give you an answer that is forced. And I'll say, therefore, Idi V'Idi B'Bezdin, that the Reisha and the Sefer refer to a situation where the Shvua took place in Bezdin, V'Loikasha. But if that's the case, if the Shvua took place in Bezdin, it's a good Shvua. And if it's a good Shvua, how will we understand Rav's opinion? Where Rav has told us that if you make a Shvua, you won't be held, once you make the shvur, you won't be held responsible. But we said that that's only a shvur in Beis Din, says the Gemara. Can the kofetz, in the case where the owner of this object made the shomer swear before Beis Din made him swear, so even though the shvur takes place in Beis Din, but it's not considered a strong shvur, because the shvur, to be considered a strong shvur that will activate Rav's din, is only when you have two conditions met. The shvur takes place in Beis Din, and not only is the shvur have to take place in Beis Din, but he also has to be Beis Din initiating the shvur. The Kan, and the Seif is going to be talking about a case, Shaloi Kofatz, that Beis Din made him make the shvur, and therefore, in that case, is speaking about a case where Beis Din forced him to make the shvur. And since Beis Din made him make the shvur, that's why he's going to be chayiv. There's an interesting question that the Achronim actually ask. The Achronim say that the Mishnah says that we'll get to this in a moment. Amalei Rabbi Bachamel Rav Nachman Michti, Rav Lo Sfirloch, you don't hold Rav's din, and therefore, according to you, even though he made a shvur, it won't hold him responsible. So Mishkuni Nashvich Ad Rav Lomaloch. So he asks him, if you don't agree with Rav's psak, why are you going so out of the way to try to understand Rav's opinion and all these Mishnayos and Brises? You're going out of the way to try to explain how they can work with Rav. Amle, Lefrushi, the Rav. I want to be able to explain that Mishnah from Masech the Shavuos according to the opinion of Rav. The Rav, Hochem Tarsal and Masnissen, that's the way Rav is going to be able to explain the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, how could one, but now we're saying that apparently he doesn't agree with Rav. He's just trying to explain Rav's position, but not that he agrees with Rav. But ask the Gemara, as we began the shir by quoting Rav's position, for Rav, Krakoma, Rav quoted a pasuk. So how could anybody disagree with Rav? Amri, Kra l'chol ha'nishbar in the Torah, says Rav Nachman, the purpose of that pasuk is to teach us a different halakhah. The purpose of that pasuk is to teach us that normally, how when the Torah says a shvua has to be made, is the shvua done? L'chol nishbar in the, if somebody has to swear, nishbar in v'lem b'shalmim. The one who against him there's a claim should make a shvua and be absolved from paying. Who the asa? Because the Tosuk says, v'lokach ba'alav v'lo yishalim, olav l'shalim, the who nishba, the person that there's a claim against him that he's obligated to pay, says the Gemara, that's going to be the person that swears, and by making that shvua, he will not have to pay. Masra Rav Nuna. So now the Gemara asks a question. But before we go there, the Chroidim ask an interesting question. In our Gemara, we differentiated regarding a shvua that was made in Beis Din, but it was not made at Beis Din's request. It was made by the shomer making the shvua on his own. And I saw the Chroidim ask, what does that mean? Does that mean that the halacha does not consider this a shvua at all? Or it's considered a shvua, but it's not a shvua that's strong enough that would activate Rav's din? And I saw that the Achroinim suggest that this is actually the subject, they suggest that it's actually a subject of a machlokes rishonim. Masa Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna asks another question. The Mishnah Masechta Shvuos, Daf Lamed Vav Amar Aleph, speaks about a shvua, a shomer who lies and says that what you say I'm holding, I don't have. And he made him swear five times, says the Mishnah there. Beim b'fnei Beis Din. Whether the shvua took place in Beis Din or outside of Beis Din, the kaf alav, and then in all five times, he swore that I don't own it. And then, the kafar love, and then afterwards he admitted that what he was saying, he swore falsely. Chayva kol achas v'achas. He has to bring a chaimish v'ashem for each one of these shvuas. V'am Rav Shimon ma'atam. Why? Hoyel v'yachal achas v'l'hoidus. He says, since on every shvua he was able to admit that he lied, so he's going to be chayiv five times a chaimish, five times a ashem. Says the Gemara in developing the question. V'hacha, says the Gemara, kafos le'matzus amrit. You can't explain that the Braisa here is speaking about that he jumped, because the Braisa, the Mishnah, clearly says the words Hishbiya Olav Ktani, that he was made to swear. We can't also say that the weakness that we just described of a shvua that a person makes on his own versus a shvua that Bezdin forced him to make cannot be explained over here, because clearly he was making the shvua at Bezdin's insistence. Moreover, chutz lebezdin loy matzus amrit. We also learned earlier in our shir, there's a difference between a shvua made in Bezdin or a shvua made outside of Bezdin. You can't say that this shvua took place outside of Bezdin, because it says explicitly, b'fnei Bezdin katani. It says that the shvua took place in Bezdin. And yet it says that even though this person made, to use our lomdus, a strong shvua, even though he made a strong shvua, it doesn't make it his bekadin that it should exempt him from paying the karen v'chaimish. Answers the Gemara. Says the Gemara, who maislov who mafarik la? Rav Amnuna was the one that asked this question of Rav, and Rav Amnuna is the one that answered the kasha. Let's start in Ketani. We need to break up this Mishnah. And the way to understand the Mishnah is like this. Hishbiya love, if he was made to swear, but that shvua took place chutz lebezdin. That's one case. So that's a weak shvua because it was done outside of Bezdin. And then, if the shvua was done in Bezdin, but it was a shvua that the person who swore kafatz jumped up to make the shvua, not that he was told to make a shvua. Given that these both shvuas are a weak shvua, so the halacha, the Rav taught us, halacha that if you swear, you become exempt, doesn't apply. Masav Rava. So Rava asks another question on Rav's psak. The Braisa teaches us, Baal Abayis, Shatan Tanis Ganem Bekadim. That means that a shomer claims that what he was watching was stolen. V'nishba, and he swears to that effect. V'hoida, and then he admits that he himself was the one that stole it. Bo Edim, if Edim come and say that we know he stole it himself, so the halacha is like this. Imach loy bo Edim hoida, if he admitted prior to the Edim coming, then Mishalm Karen v'chaymish v'ashen. He'll pay Karen v'chaymish v'ashen, as is the halacha when somebody admits that he swore falsely. However, in Bishbo Edim hoida, if the Edim, he only admitted after the Edim came, so the halacha that if you admit that you swore falsely will not be applicable, that you pay Karen v'chaymish v'ashen will not be applicable, the halacha is Mishalm Tashlumi Kefo, and you'll have to bring Asham, but you won't give a chaymish, because you only bring a chaymish when you admitted, not when somebody put you into that situation. Ask the Gemara v'hacha, clearly the Braisa is speaking about Chutz Lebezdin. The kofetz, you can't say that he jumped, that he made the shvua on his own, because kefil ketani. And you can't pay kefil if you make your own shvua. If you admit, because you only pay kefil when Bezdin forces you to swear. Here, you didn't swear that way. So we see that even in a case where you swore falsely and then you admitted, you're still going to have to pay Karen, contrary to what Rav said. So we see from here, asked Or Sameach, that the Braisa that we just learned differentiates if he was Moida before the Edom came or he was Moida after the Edom came. So asked Or Sameach, that we've learned early in our Masechta, a very big machlaikus, do we say Moida b'knas v'akach b'edom is potter or not? We learned that the opinion of Shmuel is that Moed b'knas v'akach b'edom, this was on Daf Ayin Hey, is not considered a haidah. And the rabbah and the other amoraim disagree. Isn't this a raya that since the brisa differentiated when the edim came, the moed v'knas v'akach b'edim is potter? So he says the Aruch Sameach that this brisa has nothing to do with the halacha moed v'knas. Rather, the point of this brisa is that since he was moed by himself, so once the person was moed by himself, he's chay v'chaymish. And there's a halacha which we're going to be discussing that if you're chayiv chaymish, you're not chayiv kefil. So it has nothing to do with halacha moed v'knas v'akach b'edim. Rather, the discussion here is if you're chayiv chaymish, then you won't be chayiv kefil. If you're chayiv kefil, you won't be chayiv chaymish. Says the Gemara. So now that we've asked a very strong question on the opinion of Rav, says Rava, we need to, so to speak, reinterpret what Rav says. Ela Marava, kol hoida. If somebody admits on his own that he swore falsely, no ishna, doesn't make a difference, tain tain's avad, where he said that he had lost it, and then it turned out that he lied. The lo ishna tain tain's ganef, says the Gemara, or where he admitted he swore that he swore that it was stolen, and then he admits that he was lying. Lo yamarav. In those cases, the Rav will not exempt him. Doksiv, because the Pasuk says, Visvada, and the Torah says that if you admit that you did the wrong thing, the halach is, you're going to have to pay the Karen V'chaymish. As the Pasuk says, Visvada is Chatosim Sha'asu, V'heshiv Sashamah Baroshoi, V'chamishasoi Yosef Aloi, V'nosin Lashal Oshim Aloi. The Torah says clearly that he will be Chayiv Chaymish. Toin Taniskanef, similarly, if somebody said that it was stolen and bar Adam, and now Adam came that he lied, Nami Layamarav. Here too, Rav won't say that he's exempt. The Ksiv, because the Torah does teach about the halach of Kefil. The Ksiv Tashlumi Kefil. If you might say Haganef, Yishalim Shnayim. And the Torah says that's in the case, we spoke about this very, very extensively, in the case of Toin Taniskanef. So if that's the case, if Rava is eliminating all of these situations, so now the question is, Ki Kama Rav? Where did Rav say that if somebody says something and then he's exempt? He says, Ki Gonsha Toin Tanis Ovid. He said that he swore that it was stolen. V'nishba, he swore that it was lost. And V'loi Hoida, and he didn't admit about Adam. And now Adam come and say that it's not true. It isn't lost. It's in his possession. And that is the case, says Rav, that he becomes the owner of that object and he doesn't have to return it. So now, explain the Mefarshim, all of the questions that we've been asking in our shir get resolved. The Mishnah in Masechet Shavuos says that Yechayiv five times is talking about that you didn't say Gonav. You spoke about Oved. And this Bryce that Rava quoted, that when he said that it was stolen, then he was Moida, he has to pay the Karen. Because we're learning now that only if he agreed that it was stolen, he doesn't get absolved with his Shvua. Because now Rav halacha that we began the shiur with becomes extremely limited. And Rav's halacha only applies in a case where he swore that it was lost. And that's when Rav says, the Torah teaches us, that he's kind of the Bekadim. So the Ravid asks a question. This pasuk that Rav has been learning from, pasuk that we discussed early in our shiur, the pasuk of v'lokach bala v'loy yishalim, is talking about a shayma sachar. And a shayma sachar actually is chayiv in the case of avad. So why would he say avad, and that would exempt him? Shayma sachar doesn't get absolved with aveda. Says the Gemara, that says the Ravid, we have to say that the shayma sachar in that pasuk not only is claiming falsely that it was lost, he's also claiming falsely that he's a Shem Echinam, but he's actually Shai Masacha. Says the Gemara, Ozel Rav Gamda, so says the Gemara, Rav Gamda went, V'amal Shmatza Kameda Rav Ashi, said over this, said what we just learned, what Rav just qualified, what Rav said, and said it over to Rav Ashi. Amle Hashta, Omar Rav Amnuna Talmidei de Rav, Rav Amnuna, who was Rav's Talmud, V'yada da Amar Rav, and he said, the Rav said his halacha, Hoida, when even when the Shomer was Moida, Kamosav Hoida, and that's why he asked from the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, which says differently. Vat Amrit Hoida, that if the Shomer was Moida on his own, not that he was caught by Edom, Loyam Rav, Rav Hamnuna would have known, asked the Gemara, what Rav said. Amalei Rav Acha Sabler Rav Ashi, Rav Nuna knew the proper interpretation of what Rav said. Not because he's disagreeing with Rav's understanding of what Rav said, but what pushed Rav Nuna to ask a question, Hachi Kakashle, the question that he was asking, I Amrit B'Shlomo, if you'll say the Rav is speaking in a case, Nishba, that he swore that he never was a Shomer, Kiyasa Edom, and when the Edom came and are able to prove that he was a Shomer, then he's going to pay the Keren. That's why we could understand that he's bringing a carbon that he on the Shvuah, because it's considered a Shvuah of Kfiris Momen, because since the Edom will make him pay, so now, by him making a shvua, then he's going to be chayiv. Hoyle, because since he can repeat this many times, yochel achsel lahoydus, and since he does this many times, he'll bring a chaymish v'ashem for every shvua. Eli Amrit, also Edom, if you're going to say when Edom come, that and say that he said he lost it, and he didn't really lose it, that Locha Rav said his potter, so Mika Edom, so what Rav Amnuna said, I don't understand. Dila Eid us Edom Sadabe, if Edom would come and say that he's lying, Potter, he'll be Potter. The Anan Neku V'chayv Karmen Shvuah, why would we bring a Karmen for that Shvuah? However, Yachal Achser, right now, Mielai Eidi, and as long as he didn't admit, it's only the Edom that forced him to admit, why would he have to pay? Why would he have to pay? That's what was his difficulty. That was his difficulty with what he said. But I saw the Achronim explain that there's a difference with the Edom do and what the role of the Edom play versus when he is Moida. If he's Moida, so then it's a whole different situation versus when it's the Edom that forced him to be Moida. Somebody says that what he was asked to watch was stolen, and he swore to that effect. That's why he's potter from paying. And then Edom come and say that he was the one that actually stole it. Then that's a toin tanis ganav, as we've been discussing. And we go back to what we learned earlier in our Masechta. Then in such situation, Mishalim, in such the case, he's chayiv kefil. And as I saw, Rabbi Baruch Ber in the Birkas Shmuel quotes his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Brisker, that what is the chiddush in this halacha? He says the chiddush in this halacha is that when we speak about geneva, we always speak about geneva in a way where somebody stole something, so the way he took ownership of this object is by in a legal fashion, but he stole it. But in a case where he didn't actually steal it, where he got it, the heter, he's a shomer, and only now he's making a claim of toyin tanis ganav. That's a chiddush that it's considered that he's still considered a ganav from shalom tashlumi kefil. If afterwards, as we also learned, Tavach HaMachav, he stole an animal, Shor V'seh, and he shechted it or sold it, B'sham Teshlumi Abarav V'chamisha. Hoyal V'ganav, B'sham Teshlumi Kefil. Says the Gemara, V'gam HaToyin Tanis, Ganav B'sham Teshlumi Kefil. Says the Gemara, says, so the Gemara makes the point. Ma ganav shumishalim kishreifel. Just like by ganav, the halach is that he pays kefil, and the halach is tavach hamalcha mishalim tashlumei abar v'chamisha. Af hatoyin tanis ganav b'kodim mishalim tashlumei kefil, and tavach hamalcha mishalim tashlumei abar v'chamisha. But ask the Gemara, ma l'ganav, how can we learn, how can we connect the cases of a ganav to a tainus ganav? Mal ganav shem kei mishalim tashlumei kefil shloi b'shvua. If somebody was a ganav and he was caught, the Torah says you have to pay kefil and tavach hamalcha, you have to pay dal v'hei. Time of tain tainus ganav shem mishalim tashlumei kefil. When is there a din of tain tainus ganav? If he swore falsely, shame misham tashlumi keif el b'shvua. Amri, says the Gemara, hakeshihi. The Torah connects the parasha of ganef and toyin tainas ganef to say that whatever is the halacha by ganef will be the halacha by a toyin tainas ganef as well. Vei mishimin al kesha, and no questions may be asked. Says the Gemara, so we go back to a Gemara that we learned in the Samach Gimel Amar Beis. Ask the Gemara, Hanich Laman Domer, that we had those two psukim, the pasuk of Im Yimotzei Haganav, Yishalm Shnayim, that the Gemara, according to one opinion, said that pasuk is talking about a ganav. The pasuk Im Lo Yimotzei Haganav, the Nikra Balabais Elohim, is talking about Toy and Tanis Ganav. And since these two psukim are near each other, Shapir, that we learn whatever the halacha is by one is the halacha by the other. But ask the Gemara Elamando Mahay Yimotza Ganef. They're both the Pasuk of Yimotza Ganef and the Pasuk of Eloi Yimotza Ganef. As we said, there was an opinion that said, Tavayu are speaking about Toyin Tanis Ganef, and the Gemara explained why we need two Pasukim for that. So then, Michael Maimer, where do we have a source that a Ganef and a Toyin Tanis Ganef should be treated the same? Answers the Gemara, Amri, the Pasuk says, Im Yimotza HaGanef, instead of saying ganav, to teach us that toyin tanis ganav and ganav are treated the same. Eisvei, Rav Chiya bar Abba l'Rav Yochanan, the Braisa says, if somebody left a shor with a shomer, and he says, then the person comes to that shomer, Vaymer, and he says to him, Heichen shayri, exactly where is my animal? And the shomer says, Nignava was stolen. And then he tells him, Mashbiach ani, I make you swear, from Amen, and he says Amen. The Edom eat the Moisoi Shachloi, and the Edom say that we saw the Shomer eat up that shor. The Halacha is Misham Tashlumei Kefil. He has to pay Kefil like a Ganef. For Hacha, but ask the Gemara. The Efshel Kazayis possible Shchita. Obviously, if he ate it, he must have shechted it. And yet, what does the Braisa say? The Katari Misham Tashlumei Kefil. Tashlumei Kefil in. He's only going to have to pay Kefil. But you're teaching us today that you have to pay both Kefil and Arba Chamisha by Toyin Tanis Ganef, says the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskinen, then where do you have to pay Tal V'hei? That you only pay Tal V'hei when you shechted it. But if you didn't shecht it, then it was a Nevela, there's no Tal V'hei, says the Gemara. Why does he have to say that he didn't shecht it? Volitionally, we could have said that he did shecht it, but it was a treifa. And we learned the opinion of Reb Shimon that says a shechita she'en ruya, a shechita that doesn't give you the opportunity to eat that meat, is not considered a shechita. Because Reb Meir teaches us, a shechita she'en ruya lo shma shechita, so shechita she'en ruya shma shechita. And therefore, you'll be chayiv. That's why we had to say nevela. Because we're going to say treifa, it's actually considered a shechita. Volitionally, but ask the Gemara, we could have said a different teretz. That we're talking about an animal which was found in its mother's womb, which throughout Shas is considered, which is called a ben pekua. And Rav Shimon, in Masech Techulin, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, teaches us that a ben pekua can be eaten without shechita. So that's why we just say that it's talking about a ben pekua. And therefore, you don't pay dal v'hei because you didn't shecht it. Answers the Gemara, because Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rameya, dama ben pekua ton shechita. And therefore, the Gemara could not have offered that teretz. So ask the Gemara, v'lishna lei, why don't we say the Braisa is talking about a case? Kigon sh'amad b'din. there was a din Torah, and the Edom came and said that the Shimon said it was stolen, and Edom say that he stole it. Varmalai say tenlai, and the Bezdin told him, now give back the animal, and he shechted it. The halach is that at that, if that was what would happen, there's no chiv dal vehei. Dama Rava, Rava teaches us that if Bezdin told the ganef, or the shaymer with the Toyin Tanis ganef, which we're saying is really the same, say tenlai, go pay the animal back. And instead of paying it back, tovach machar, potter doesn't have to pay the dal vehei. My tama, says the Gemara, why? Kiven the paskel mil say, once Bezdin says that he has to pay, so that ends the first act of Geneva. And now, when he does Tficha Mechira, he's a Gazlan. And as we discussed very extensively previously in Amasakta, the Halacha of Dal Vehei was only said by a Ganef. A Ganef, we said, is somebody who steals surreptitiously. But somebody who is a Gazlan, everybody knows what he's doing is a Gzela, doesn't pay Dal Vehei. So, but if Bezdin said Chayiv Itiloi, Bezdin did not issue a fine, a complete psak, there the halacha will be the Tavach Machar, that if he did Tficha Mechira, at that point he would be Chayiv the Dal Vehei. My Tama, Kal Kama, the Loi Psik Le Milsa, until Bezdin issued a final psak, he's still in the category of a Ganef, and since he's in the category of a Ganef, he pays Dal Vehei. So what do we see here? But if Bezdin had issued a final psak, then you don't have to pay Dal Vehei. And that's going to be the case where he shechted the animal, but since he shechted the animal after Bezdin's psak, he wouldn't have to pay. So ask the Gemara, Amri Utameich, Lishnilei, we could have given a different teretz. B'shutav shetavach shleimidas haveroi. It would be a case where two people stole the animal, and only one of them shechted the animal without the other partner's knowledge, consent, that there's no chiyav dal vehei. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan could have given all of these different terutzim. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan said that he ate it without shechita, but you don't have to give that teretz. The Gemara had many different options of terutzim. Al chadam atrevet last knocked. The Gemara chose one of those terutzim, even though he didn't have to. Gemara could have said a different teretz. So one of the teretz terutzim the Gemara spoke about is that the animal that was found is a ben pekua, and a ben pekua says that Loch Rav Shimon holds doesn't require shechita. The Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon Shizuri, and they say that even though midaraisa one may eat an animal which is a ben pekua, midarabbanon, because of a concern of maris ayin, one should not eat the ben pekua without shechita. So now, if a ganef steals a ben pekua and eats it without performing shechita, he doesn't have to do dal vehei because it's not considered a real act of shechita. And they say, the achronim say that even if he did shechita, he wouldn't be chayiv dal vehei. They say that shechting a ben pekua is not really considered an act of shechita. And says Rabbi Akiva Eger that even the rabbanon, the Chachamim who just said, hold that you should do Shechit on a Ben Pekua, this doesn't mean that the Chayiv Dal Vehei, because it's not a Shechita that you're obligated to do Midaraisa. Says Rabbeinu Yeshaya, a Rishon, that although a Ben Pekua may be eaten without a proper Shechita, if a Ben Pekua dies on its own, then the halacha is that it should be killed. We should do something by severing the neck. Ask the Beis Yitzchak that if a ganef stole a ben pekua and then he just chops off its head, which we just said, Rabbeinu Yishai said is what's supposed to be done. So why don't we say nechirasoi zu shchitasoi? Chopping off the neck is the way the shchita is supposed to be done, says the Beis Yitzchak. The severing the neck of a ben pekua is only considered equivalent to a partial act of shechita. It's not considered a full-fledged shechita. And he explains, the reason a proper shechita is not required in a ben pekua is because, why? Because since the animal, the baby, the fetus, was in the womb of the mother, the shechita of the mother is what works on the baby. So yes, Rebbeinu Yeshaya says, Beis Yitzchak, says that the neck has to be severed. But that is not considered a total act of shechita. It's only the completion of the shechita. The shechita began when they shechted the mother. And now that the halacha requires that we should chop off the head of the ben pekua, it's not a full-fledged act of shechita. It's just completing what we began when we shechted the mother. And when, says the Beis Yitzchak, is there a chiv of dal v'hei? There's only a chiv of dal v'hei when you do a full-fledged act of shechita. This, since it's not considered a full-fledged act of shechita, is not going to be a case where there would be a chiv dal v'hei. And that's why we could understand the Gemara's explanation that the Brisa is speaking about a ben pekua.